Welcome into The Drive. It's all about intensity.
Swing and a drive.
Don't get out tough. Don't let them rain threes on you.
High drive to left field.
That was incredible.
The drive and the two.
I think this team showed their full arsenal.
The drive of the game.
So what? The teams are coming after you. Go after them.
Fully impressed with the team effort.
Swing and a drive.
Lon finally hit the irrational button.
And he drives one.
Coach Derek Piper here.
Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman,
Brad Underwood,
Brett Bielema, Illinois football coach. How are you, sir?
Yeah. Let's go for a little ride.
ESPN Radio 93.5. We've made it to Friday. Not only that, Derek Piper made it through a golf course. We mentioned last night, you kept your shirt on?
I did do that.
Okay.
Yeah, it was hot, but got through it. Too many slices. I'll be looking for the slices of watermelon this weekend. The ones today weren't great.
How many golf balls are left out at the orange and blue course that somebody else will find now? Plenty?
Made quite a donation. Yeah.
Those Pro V1 Titleists or what?
No.
Okay.
No, I make sure not to buy expensive golf. That's just pointless.
I think there was one year in my life where I actually became fairly good at golf. In fact, that year I actually shot even par one time over the course of a day down at Tri-City and Villa Grove. But I was starting to use Pro V1s a little bit. And then after I lost about six, I'm like, yep, I'm done with that. That right there was like $30 down the drain. So just give me a Max Fly or a Top Flight or whatever I can play. I'll be fine with that. Or a Titleist that doesn't say Pro V1. Well, listen, I'm glad you made it from the golf course today.
I just need to steal the balls from putt-putt. Like, keep
or the
those.
Range.
Or the range. That works as well. If they're going in the water, then it doesn't matter what kind they are at that
point. I think we're all not too proud to know that we've all played a range ball on occasion. All right, listen, it is Friday. I want to have fun today. I do not want to talk about what we talked about all day yesterday, and that is Kofi Coburn. Is that all right with you if we just leave that alone for a day?
Let it breathe.
Okay. Let's let it breathe one day, and then we'll take it back up next to. We're tabling it. We're like a chamber meeting or a board meeting. We're going to table the Kofi news until next week. However, with it being Friday, I want to talk a little basketball. You know, it came out that Illinois would play Notre Dame in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, and we just kind of brushed over it. So I thought, how about today? I mean, I don't really want to get too news heavy today. I just want to talk about vanilla topics, and one of them certainly not a vanilla topic because all Illinois fans love the Big Ten ACC Challenge. That is Illinois and Notre Dame. So what I thought we would do, Pipes, is go through some of these matchups. But before we do that, let's focus in on Illinois. Let me ask you about this first matchup with the Irish. Illinois has lost three straight against Notre Dame. This is a Notre Dame team that is returning a lot of their starters from not a very good season. Illinois, of course, losing Kofi, we think, and Io for sure. So you're losing two of you're losing your top two scorers. And, of course, Adam Miller transfers out. With the portal down to LSU.
There you go.
So a big, you know, change for Illinois as well, whereas Notre Dame is going to have kind of some consistency, even though it wasn't really good consistency. What do you like about this matchup? Were you excited, I'll put it that way, to see Illinois paired up with Notre Dame? That game will be right here in Champaign. What day is that? Do we know? It's the first game of the Big Ten ACC Challenge.
I'd have to effort that.
That's all right. Don't worry about it. So what were your thoughts when you saw Illinois and Notre Dame?
I'll be honest. My first thought was favorable draw.
Yeah.
I mean, both being at home and against a Notre Dame team that went 11-15 last year, not very good, particularly at the defensive end. And like you said, they do bring back a number of pieces from that team last year. But what exactly does that mean? They're a team that shot the three pretty well and could score, but rebounding wise, defensive wise, they just weren't very good. And, the ACC, as we know, was not a great league last year and really struggled. So I don't know that, you know, if it would have been Miami, Florida, or Clemson, or Georgia Tech, would that have popped off the page? Probably not necessarily either. So it is a matchup. I know Trent Frazier's excited about it. He tweeted something about a revenge opportunity.
Right.
As we mentioned earlier in the week, his shot from near half court went down and then back out in South Bend. So Notre Dame, you know, is a brand.
Yes.
And it is going to, I think, I'm sure fans will be excited to show up for that game. Be excited to show up for any game this season.
No doubt.
I just think it's, and we can talk a little bit about this as well. You get Notre Dame at home, at Marquette, Arizona at home, Missouri. Like, your non-conference slate as it stands right now is pretty doable, and you should come out of it with a nice record.
I want to go through that. And it is funny with Notre Dame and Marquette. What are we, like, going through the private school sector now of the schedule with this? Notre Dame, you brought that up. Obviously, Notre Dame made their name by football, right? I mean, this is a program that years and years ago, while you could only get, you know, this wasn't, believe it or not, kids, back in the day, you only got to watch like three football games a weekend. And Notre Dame was certainly one that had, I think it was NBC, that was exclusive to Notre Dame. You saw every Notre Dame game. So essentially, from coast to coast, you'd have Notre Dame fans because they were a brand and they were very successful through the years with that program. So that's one of those schools that, and I'm trying to relate this now to Illinois fans. Of course, I laugh about it. And it is Friday, so it's like, why not drink today, right? I mean, I'm 50. There you go, drink. But it's one of those where for a lot of my life, it's always been, Illinois' kind of always been that little brother to Notre Dame football. Obviously, I'm not saying anything there or breaking ground there, but there were many years where fans clamored for Notre Dame to join the Big Ten. And Notre Dame was like, nope, we're not doing it. We're not joining any conference in football. They still haven't. They're a non-conference when it comes to, or what am I trying to say? They're a...
Independent.
Independent, thank you, when it comes to football. And is that an air of arrogance? Absolutely it is. But if you're Notre Dame, you can do that, right? I mean, it's just one of those. So now bringing it back to basketball, while Notre Dame isn't exactly Duke, if you will, of a team coming in, I think it will be interesting, and I think a lot of Illini fans will get behind this game because of the name Notre Dame. And I think for a lot of Illinois fans, they understand that football-wise, Notre Dame has always been and probably always will be a better program than Illinois football. But here's a chance to slay kind of the Irish. And this is a chance to get them here at home. Somehow you've lost three straight. It won't take me very much to get up because I still remember the Bill Self NCAA tournament game when Notre Dame, and we talked about it earlier this week, when they hit like 58 threes and set like some Midwest region record, and it just ticked me off. But it is funny, when you brought up Notre Dame, I hadn't really thought of it that way. I think because of the name Notre Dame, when this game rolls around in the Big Ten ACC, yes, would you rather play maybe another team out of this conference that you feel like, you know, like a Duke or someone that more of a name recognition? Of course, Illinois won a Duke last year. I just think this is a perfect time to get Notre Dame in here. Let's beat them and get that kind of, we won this one back on Illinois' side against that school. And I know, again, it's all based off of football, but I think this is a pretty big name, and I think Illinois fans, unless I'm wrong, I think Illinois fans will be targeting this game as one that they really want to win.
Yeah, I think they definitely will. And if I'm remembering correctly, I'm pretty sure Notre Dame was the first opponent that Illinois played in the newly renovated State Farm Center.
Ooh.
And based on the streak, they lost that game as well, I would have imagined. So there you have that as well, just to kind of write that wave of momentum or yes, turn it the other way. So would you rather play Florida State, Syracuse, obviously North Carolina, Duke, Louisville? As far as the matchup,
right,
I would say yes. If you're looking just for a win, maybe not. And you are a team that, look, you're without two All-Americans from last year. And it might be good to play a more beatable opponent when you're trying to get Omar Payne used to playing 30 minutes a game. Austin Hutcherson in that mix. Like, I'm not saying that Illinois is not going to be good, but maybe it is beneficial again at home. And look, bottom line, it's very, very winnable game. Will Notre Dame be better by being experienced yet again and bringing some of those pieces back? We'll see. I'm not really sure, but I do think just the name Notre Dame will be interesting and exciting. It's better than we've seen Illinois play Clemson like plenty State of times or NC State. Like, we've seen that.
Yeah, I don't want to see that again. Georgia Tech.
Yep.
Those are, I mean, those are always one of those games that you look back through the years, you're like, you remember that Georgia Tech loss? It's like, really?
Trevor will be hiding under the desk if it's Miami. Like, he wants nothing to do with the Hurricanes.
About that. Where's he at? I mean, he's not in here still. He's still out running around. We'll have to bring that up next segment about Illinois not facing Miami. How excited are you on that? All right, so we'll go through some of these matchups, but you had mentioned Illinois' non-conference. So far, we understand that we've got Notre Dame in the Big Ten ACC. I haven't said it once. The Big Ten-10 ACC challenge. I always mess that up. Then we have Marquette in the Gavitt games. You know you're going to play Missouri. You know you're going to the tournament where you've got, what, Kansas State, Arkansas.
And Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
The Hall of Fame Classic in Kansas City.
Okay, so that'll be kind of a cool one. What do you, and is, am I missing any? Arizona coming
Arizona,
here.
Arizona, yep.
That, listen, those are some nice names when you look at a Marquette, you look at a Arizona, you look at a Notre Dame, you look at a chance to play like Kansas State and Bruce Weber. I mean, it's sexy, if you will. A little bit of a sexy schedule. What do you think of it so far? How do you feel like that schedule will pair up with the Illinois talent coming back, as you just said, without two All-Americans on your team?
Yeah, again, I think it's an opportunity to win quite a few of these. And it's not a Baylor in there.
Right.
It was fun watching Illinois play Baylor and learn, like, hey, this team's, man, I think this is the best team in the country. But, yeah, I think Marquette losing, and you're hoping that you flipped it to where you got Dawson Garcia now going up against
exactly
them. They've lost, if you're counting Garcia, who's in the portal and not expected to go back, they lost their top five scorers from last year. They lost Carton. And they do have, I think it's three four-star guys coming in. They have Morsell. I mean, Shaka has always recruited well.
No doubt.
Always gotten name guys. It's just the sustained success, particularly later in the season, has been elusive for him. But it will be fun to see Shaka in year one as far as Illinois facing him. Arizona without Sean Miller now, and that wasn't a tournament team last year.
Yeah.
They're down on talent. They were last year, and I think it's the same. I looked at their recruiting rankings, and it's not – Arizona of DeAndre Ayton days and before that. Missouri without Xavier Pinson, without Tillman, without Mark Smith.
Is the one dude still there?
Javon Pickett's still there.
No!
So that is one thing you do have to worry about. And I mentioned Mark Smith, Kansas State.
How about just for the
storylines, like Bruce Weber against Brad Underwood, Underwood against his alma mater, Mark Smith against Illinois. Let's do that just one more time.
Let's do it. And we don't know, right, who we will play in that thing. You're going to play two of the three.
Arkansas was really good last year. Elite Eight run.
Yes.
Moses Moody is gone.
Okay.
Justin Smith, is he back? I'd have to.
Well, it seems like he shouldn't be.
Yeah, he's been in college.
The Justin Smith from Indiana, right? Oh, yeah. From the state of Illinois.
It was a nice piece for them last year.
That's right. Well,
they'll be talented. They'll probably be the team that you would face, assuming they stagger them so that's not the first round matchup.
Got it.
A little birdie told me it's going to be Cincinnati as your first round matchup, but we'll see if that's.
I mean, come on! Don't we just want to see a Kansas State Illinois in round one, and then maybe play either Cincy or who am I forgetting now? All of a sudden,
Arkansas
in game two. But we'll see. Hey, if it's Cincinnati, it's Cincinnati. We just stole a wide receiver from them, Ian Pugh. So maybe that's what Cincinnati will take into that game—a little frustration.
Maybe Nick Lachey will show up again.
I love it. Still buffed out in his jersey. All right, so good stuff with Illinois there. And I look, again, are they the sexiest names in the world in terms of this year being good? Like in Arizona, normally you're talking about a top 10 team in the country. No, but if you can beat an Arizona, you beat a Marquette, you beat a Notre Dame, if you can get a Cincinnati, if you can play or beat Arkansas. I mean, those are some pretty notable victories.
Sure.
For an Illinois program, and I think it's a pretty comparable schedule with regards to what Illinois returns. Because I think Illinois should not be looked at as a team that's, you know, a top 10 type team, but I feel like this could be a top 25 team, and with those wins, I think that would help out a lot. So, we'll see. All right, you want to roll through these?
I did mention one thing. As far as ending streaks, Missouri, it's got to happen.
Oh, my goodness.
It's got to.
Is it 2 years in a row?
Three.
That's right. Brad Underwood has never defeated.
He did in year one.
Year one.
The obscure stat or the one you wrote, probably not remember, maybe you will. Mark Smith never lost a Bragging Rights game.
And he was pretty good in that game.
He was good in his won with Illinois.
With Illinois.
With Missouri, he never played well, but then they always won.
Because of Javon
was carrying everybody on his wings.
Mark Smith has never lost. Javon Pickett's never lost. Enough of that, right? Enough of that. Has Tillman lost one? Was that the first year?
Lost first year.
Okay. So we got a lot of stuff to get done then in the bragging rights game. Let's get that fired up again. All right. Let's go through these quickly. You got Iowa without Luka Garza, without Wieskamp.
Without Jack Nungy, without C.J. Frederick.
Ooh. And I think one of the who's back?
They got Bohannon back.
Bohannon, that's right.
And the McCaffreys are back.
So Bohannon was the one I was thinking of. He decided to come back.
Keegan Murray's a nice player for
them.
Right
before Bohannon
got good.
Smoked at some party. Yeah. What the heck happened there? Man. So I was at Virginia. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that in July, I know exactly how good Virginia's going to be or even how good Iowa's going to be. But what do you think of that matchup, Iowa traveling to Virginia?
I can tell you it'll be an interesting contrast of styles, mm-hmm. knowing how Virginia likes to slow it down and all Iowa wants to do. Well, Virginia will just try to play defense and keep it in the 50s, and Iowa wants to score as much, and they'll let you score as much as you'd like as well. One thing I can tell you about Virginia is they got Armon Franklin now.
Oh, that's right.
You remember when Illinois was trying to get him, he ended up at Virginia, so nice piece for them for sure. Outside of that, don't know a ton. I know they lost some pieces from last year's team that, of course, got upset to our pleasure picking Ohio in the first round.
Exactly. The Bobcats, right?
Yep.
All right, how about Indiana at Syracuse? Of course, Jim Boeheim still coaching. What in the world? How is he still coaching, and why would he still be coaching? Indiana has Trace Jackson Davis back. Like you just mentioned, they lose Armon Franklin. This game at Syracuse, you talk about, again, a Syracuse team that's going to come out in that zone and say, all right, beat us from the outside. I think Trace Jackson Davis is the kind of guy that can get in the middle of that zone and cause a lot of problems. I could see Indiana, like, really showing up for this game against Syracuse. This will be one that I'll be interested in watching.
I know it'll be one that fans on the Indiana side will be thinking about, because that's who ended their number one seed in the Sweet 16 when they had Zeller and Oladipo and those guys. And
I was at Hooters here in Champaign. They're now closed. I was at Hooters watching that game.
Yep.
That's a good memory you just brought up.
Yeah, that was a very disappointing exit for them as a one seed. They do, as you mentioned, have Trace Jackson Davis back. And we'll see what another year does for a guy like Christian Lander, who was so highly regarded coming in as a freshman and just struggled, wasn't ready. Wouldn't be surprised if he's significantly better. And they got Mike Woodson got a 5-star commit here after being hired to come in next year. Tamar Bates from Florida is one that's going to be involved with them. So Indiana could be pretty decent.
I agree.
And year one for Woodson, and Syracuse doesn't have I'm right in saying they don't have Alan Griffin anymore, right? Because
is he back on the portal
just,
again?
On the move?
I don't even know.
I'm pretty sure. And Quincy Guerrier left, and of course,
that's right.
Canadian that went to Oregon.
That's right. All right, I'm going to go through a couple more of these as you're efforting Alan Griffin. You got Minnesota at Pitt, Northwestern at Wake Forest. I have no really interest in talking about either one of those. Duke is at Ohio State. This is a Duke team that Illinois went to Cameron last year and pretty much handled, not easily, but by 10, double digits. It wasn't a very good Duke team, we found out. A lot of people pointed that out to me the day after the Duke, or after Illinois beat Duke, because we just can't all be happy anymore. Ohio State, of course, we're still waiting to see about E.J. Liddell. You told me the news not yesterday, that would have been Tuesday, I think, of this week, that Dwayne Washington is staying in the draft. That's interesting. This could be a fun matchup, though. Duke at Ohio State. It'll be interesting to see kind of where Ohio State is and where Duke is when this thing rolls around.
Yeah, certainly. As far as, I mean, Duke with a new crop of talent.
Mm-hmm.
I just mentioned Alan Griffin. They got A.J. Griffin coming in as one of their, you know, what, five-star talent.
Right.
I mean, that's every year,
yeah, of course,
for them, and it's the last go for Coach K. So you got that whole kind of deal as well. But yeah, nice intriguing matchup. Ohio State without Washington, that's a hit to their backcourt,
no doubt.
Certainly, it
think
is.
Think about him late in that season in that Big Ten tournament against Illinois and in the NCAA. I mean, he was their team.
Now they still don't have, you know, Justin Suing was a nice piece for them. Obviously, EJ, Zed Key, Kyle Young is back.
Right.
So front court wise and kind of wing to front court, Ohio State is set up fairly nicely. It'll be interesting, though, just who can step up and carry that load without Washington.
Maybe one of the game's best games, Florida State to Purdue. That should be a fun game. Man. Purdue's got a lot back. They've got a lot more to prove, I think, for Matt Painter. I don't know where I went. Brad there. This is a Purdue team that didn't have the kind of season they were hoping for last year. I think they're really looking forward to this. And then you've got a Florida State team. We talk about it every year. It seems like they're a Sweet 16 team every season. I don't know that they're going to be that good again this year, but being at Purdue, they're going to find out pretty quick how tough it is to play at Mackey.
They certainly will. Yeah, it'll be fun to see spots around, you know, obviously around the country. I mean, we talk about Illinois and State Farm Center being hopping again. Mackey is about as good as it gets here in the last 5 to 7 years when they're good, which they're now going to be projected as maybe some people are going to pick them as the favorite in the Big Ten.
I agree.
With Travion, with Jaden Ivey, I love that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he's going to develop into a sophomore. But this will be a great game. Florida State, I mean, you don't even need to know their roster. You just know they're going to be super athletic. Yep. They're going to be a good rebounding team, good defense. This will be a great game.
Clemson at Rutgers. Virginia Tech's going to be at Maryland. Maryland, a team that a lot of people were expecting possibly to contend for a Big Ten title. Of course, Morsell leaves, heading to Marquette. We talked about that earlier in this segment. Louisville at Michigan State. Michigan State, down year last year. Louisville wasn't really that good either. Is this a game you'd look forward to see kind of, all right, these are two pretty proud programs. Are they making strides to get back where we think they should be?
Yeah, that is something that you definitely look for. And Michigan State losing Aaron Henry and then losing Rocket Watts, who struggled a lot last year, but bringing in a Max Christie, and they do have a nice recruiting class to come in to try to get back to what
I agree
they're normally doing, which isn't going out in the first round or being in. That was a first four game, right?
Yeah, first four
against UCLA, then goes to the final.
Oh my goodness!
And I'll be honest, I don't know a ton about Louisville off the top of my head, but you know that those are two programs that recruit really well, and Chris Mack versus Tom Izzo. I mean, that's a big time. Primetime matchup.
Louisville, solid recruiting visits. Nebraska at NC State, Miami at Penn State, Wisconsin at Georgia Tech. My, how the mighty have fallen. It was Wisconsin now pairing up with Georgia Tech like Illinois was during the John Gross era. And then the last one, Michigan at North Carolina. You got Juwan Howard going up against Carolina. Mm. A lot of times we base things off the name Duke or the name North Carolina. What are you expecting out of that one as we close out the segment?
Quick note, I'm imagining Greg Gard and Josh Pastner meeting at midcourt before the game, and Pastner being like, it's okay, Greg. I know what it's like when everybody hates me. So I can relate to you now as that goes. North Carolina and Michigan will be a very entertaining game. I mean, North Carolina was way down last year, but got some transfers.
Exactly.
Armando Bacot is back as a big man. And Michigan lost a lot, but here's the number one recruiting class in the country. I know Frankie Collins is a really good point guard from out west. He's going to be man in that backcourt now that Mike Smith's gone. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, Juwan is reeling them in, and I'm sure they'll be very talented yet again.
And about the time the Big Ten ACC Challenge happens, that Michigan crew could be kind of coming together in terms of playing with each other. All right, good stuff. Man, it's Friday, and we just talked some Big Ten ACC basketball. Talked a lot of Illinois, too, to start that, which was very fun. Okay, that was the basketball side. Trevor, you and I discussed earlier this week about talking a little football. So what we're going to do when we come back, Trevor is going to pepper you and I on some not only Illinois but Big Ten. And that's one thing that we discussed this earlier in the week, and you and I were like, we need to kind of look at some Big Ten football stuff. Well, guess what I didn't do? Look at any kind of Big Ten football. I think we've also got some other stuff, too, around the country. So from basketball to football. We got Who You Got coming up next hour as well. When we come back, Trevor Valise joins us for a little Next Question, College Football Edition. That means some more Johnny Gross.
Next question.
Always good to hear that. It is The Drive.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands, owner of Lands, Inc. Your heating and cooling system works hard for you all year long to keep you and your family comfortable. That's why it's important to have it maintained and serviced regularly. Our techs are ready to help you with all your indoor air quality, humidity, and filtration needs. Visit LandsInc.com today for specials on a brand new train system for your home and to see for yourself why it's hard to stop a train. At Lands, Inc., our commitment is to you, the customer. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
Hi, I'm Habib Habib. Happy birthday, America. I have very specific reasons why I'm grateful and thankful. And if you want to know why, see my video at HabibHabib.com, and I bet you may put a few flags in your own yard. Thank you, America.
Here's what people are saying about Sarah Champagne.
They offered amazing service and had wonderful hospitality, kindness, and a willingness to work within our budget and offer the best possible price. And the staff were very welcoming and polite.
I mean, could I put 6 stars? They were actually the best dealership anybody in my family has ever used. They made me feel like I was their only customer. Honestly, not sure how they could be better.
Choose from a wide variety of Honda, BMW, Subarus, and some of the best pre-owned vehicles and more at Sarah Champagne, off Burwash and Savoy, or online at sarahchampagne.com. Did you know that the largest security monitoring company in our area has been sold? You will if you try to give them a call.
All of our representatives are currently busy.
When it comes to your home security and peace of mind, the last thing anyone wants to hear is
the estimated hold time is 96 minutes.
Don't be left on hold. Trust the local and family-owned company who have been doing this for almost 50 years. Trust Barcom. Give them a call at 217-679-2387. They'll actually
Barcom Security.
Answer the phone. Barcom Security. Have a secure day.
Hey, could you tell me what aisle your car batteries are in?
Sure. I'll go grab one for you. Here's your battery. It might be expired, but oh well. Also, the brand isn't that great, but it should work for at least a year or two, maybe. Anyways, I went ahead and charged you for it, and here's the battery. Okay, have a great day.
What just happened?
Sometimes good things are hard to find, but they're worth the wait. Make the trip out to Interstate All Battery Center at 2504 North Mattis Avenue and get all of your battery needs taken care of by the trusted professionals. Give them a call today at 355-4855.
Reliable Mechanical has been around for over a century, which means they've seen everything. Their trained and experienced team considers a planned maintenance program the single most effective way to ensure your business's infrastructure. Without a preventative maintenance plan, unscheduled repairs could be costly. So let Reliable take care of you. Their preventative plan allows time for problems to be recognized and corrected before major damage occurs. Call them today, 217-356-1841. Reliable Mechanical. Let them be reliable for you.
Hey kids, want to hear a scary story? It was a dark and stormy night, and suddenly, from out of nowhere, a noise. It was a company's hard drive failing after being struck by an IT disaster. Kids, where'd you go?
It might not sound scary, but over 90% of small businesses fail within 2 years after being struck by an IT disaster. Let Area-Wide Technologies in Champaign design a recovery plan for you. Give them a call at 359-8041.
The Champaign County Fair is coming our way.
The Champaign County Fair has some terrific concerts.
Reserve your seat now in the grandstand or on the track.
Gary Allen starts off on July 22nd.
Sitting out here.
Make arrangements now for your VIP party pit passes or get your reserved box seats for 5 or 6 people as we start up the fair Thursday, July 22nd with Gary Allen.
So you're standing
with Travis Denning opening the show. Aiden, what's the website for details?
ChampaignCountyFair.cc.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Georgia B. Catch my boys Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 on The Drive. Boom, boom, brr.
We are back. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise finally joining us.
Hello.
Running around all over the place. We mentioned in the Big Ten ACC Challenge, you got, how did you say that, Trevor or Derek, that Trevor would be underneath a desk?
He'd be underneath the table if it would have been Miami.
Yes, yes, that is correct.
So big news there, Trevor. You don't have to face Miami.
Well, you know what my eyes immediately darted to?
What's that?
Was Clemson-Rutgers.
Oh.
Because the three of us had a little involvement in that NCAA tournament matchup.
Oh, is that the one? That's right.
Where we kind of pushed all our chips in on Rutgers.
I forgot about and they came through.
And it worked out, yeah.
The Knights came through for us there. What do you think of Notre Dame at Illinois? Since we got you on the horn with us, What do you think of that matchup with the Irish?
Few people seem to remember that the first ever State Farm Center game, I know you guys mentioned that.
Well, Pipes did, yeah.
Was Notre Dame against Illinois, and it was like one of those weird things because I think Mike Thomas had been fired. That was right in the middle of that, but he was still there in a suite because it was his project, so he wanted to see it through as like a, as a finished project. So people were like awkwardly going like, there's Mike Thomas down there, even though he was fired. So that was kind of weird. And then they also, that was when
just
they
Mike
were...
Mike Thomas in general. That
yeah, right. I mean, that was weird, yeah. And then exactly. That was also when they were doing... They had set off like fireworks when the team would come out, but like the smoke settled indoors at the top of the
who'd have thought that
State Farm Center. And so I remember like the first 3 minutes of the game, because I was up in what was then C-section or whatever, I couldn't see because there was so much smoke up there. So that's what I remember about playing Notre Dame, other than the time that Trent's three went in and out.
Well, and
weird Notre Dame memories in general.
Exactly. I don't know that Illinois has beaten Notre Dame in your lifetime.
I don't know.
I'd have to check. They lead the overall series pretty big, but I know Illinois is 0 for their last three against the Irish, so it'd be nice to put that one away and get that taken care of on the Big Ten ACC Challenge.
I don't like playing Mike Bray, though. It feels like you're probably going to get outcoached by him no matter who you're playing, even if his team isn't that good.
Right.
I don't know. He dresses well. He's sort of like a Bond villain figure.
He should have been Coach K's replacement. Maybe not. John Shire getting it done. All right, we're going to talk some football now. We've gone from Illinois basketball to Illinois football, and you came up with some questions, Trevor, for Derek and I, and you'll have to chip in and chime in because right now my football knowledge is waning. It's waning during the season.
Off-season form?
Yeah, exactly. I'm off-season form during the season, let alone during the off-season. So what do we got?
Well, first of all, I was going to make this entirely Phil Steele.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's sort of the Ken Pom of college football. He takes out this huge magazine. It's grown every year. Now it's just ridiculous the amount of stuff he puts in there. But as I went across the street to Meijer, they unfortunately did not have one.
Oh, no.
So
we said earlier this week that you were going
to... I know. I'm not trying to throw Meijer under the bus or anything. A lovely grocery store, but they did not have the Phil Steele magazine.
So if anybody in the next 5 minutes can run a Phil Steele magazine, but no, I'm kidding. Do not do that.
Okay. Those are
I know how great our listeners are. Yeah, they'd probably bring one by.
But I was able to find some information on Phil Steele online. It's amazing what you can do if you just Google Phil Steele 2021.
I've told you kids that Google thing is going to last.
It is. It's catching on.
It's really starting to catch on.
So we'll start with a Phil Steele next question.
So
but
we
some
need
of
John
these,
Gross here, don't we?
We do.
Oh, sorry. John, are you there?
Next question.
There he goes. All right, go ahead.
Phil Steele ranked 8 Illini as preseason All Big Ten selections, and he even put Jake Hansen on the 4th team All-American preseason. Can you see Hansen building on his already illustrious career and potentially becoming an All-American in his year 5?
Boy, that's an interesting question. I mean, this is a kid, Pipes, when it comes to consistency, not many have done it better than Jake Hansen when he's healthy. And I don't mean to say that he hasn't been. He's been healthy most of the time. Remember last year when he took that, like, just met somebody head on and then kind of started getting woozy? It was like, no, not Jake. I don't know why he couldn't, because I'll tell you why, Derek. Every year, he continues to amaze me with his ability to force turnovers. He's got the nose for the ball. We know that. And I think finally he's playing with a defensive line that is going to compare with a lot of the teams in the Big Ten. And maybe even more so with coaching that is going to compare to a lot of the Big Ten. So, I mean, you look at some of those big boys up front, Roderick Perry, you've got him. You've got some of these kids. Is that right? Roderick Perry, yeah. We got some of these guys up front that
Owen
are just...
Carney.
Yeah, Owen Carney. You got some big guys that are back, and these are men now. I mean, these are 22, 23-year-old men, and just think what Jake Hansen was able to do when those guys weren't necessarily getting offensive linemen engaged. I think this year they're going to be able to do that, and I think Jake Hansen could have the kind of year that would put him in position to be at least listed on some All-American team, whether it be third, fourth team, et cetera.
Yeah, I think it's certainly within the realm of possibility for sure. And you said it there, just being able to stay healthy, because you're going to need the counting stats, as you would say, being towards the top of the country, and tackles as a linebacker would certainly help. And you mentioned those guys up front. I could even throw a Keith Randolph in there as well, as just having the legit size that you're hoping for.
Johnny Newton?
Yeah, on a Big Ten defensive line to allow him to play free and fly around, which we know that he certainly can do. And when you're forcing turnovers, that will certainly factor in as well. And last year he was Pro Football Focus had him as, you know, top five in the country as far as his tackling grade. So that's good as well. And another thing I would add with Ryan Walter's system and maybe being a little bit more disguising blitzes, and I'd love to see him shoot the gap, go up the middle, and get some sacks. I think that could certainly help as well.
I love it. John Gross.
Next question.
Brett Bielema returns more experience on his roster than any other team in college football, according to Phil Steele's experience rankings. How much do you think this can benefit slash raise the floor for the Illini in year one?
Do you guys remember when we were the youngest team in America? And listen,
I remember.
I give kudos to Lovey Smith, and I've said this to this day, and it could really benefit Illinois fans and this program this season with these super seniors coming back. I give Lovey credit back then in the sense that he said, you know what, I'm going to tear it down. I'm going to play these young kids that I've brought in, and by the time they're juniors and seniors, hopefully we've turned the corner. Well, that did get you to a bowl game one time. It did not do much last year in a weird kind of COVID season, and of course, Lovey was shown the door. Now you got a lot of those kids that were here playing at 18 years old, Derek, that are 22, 23, and yes, that should make a difference. How much will it make a difference and raise the floor? I don't know, but man, I hope it makes a big difference. I don't know why I can't go into a season being optimistic and end the season saying, you know what, Lon, you had a reason to be optimistic. You have grown men now going against other Big Ten schools. You've got Owen Carneys of the world, guys like that, that have had 4 or 5 years to hit that weight room and build their bodies, and now they're tank ready to come out and compete against other Big Ten schools. That, let's be frank, the depth normally at Illinois, the talents, skill-wise at Illinois, normally doesn't put you in a position to line up with a Wisconsin, with a Michigan and such, and an Iowa. But now with these guys, 22 super seniors coming back, you should absolutely have the ability to go out and line up against Iowa and Wisconsin and at least compete at a strong level, if you will. So, yes, I absolutely think it could benefit and raise the floor for the Illini. And I'll be very disappointed if it doesn't.
Yeah, it definitely raises the floor. It has to. And you think about, we spent a lot of time talking about this and it being an ideal scenario for a first-year coach to come in and have some immediate success. And I've looked, when you watch around the country, there are those rebuild projects. We saw it with Lovey. We see a new coach inserted, and you watch him and you're like, okay, their team is talented. They have some nice pieces, but they're starting maybe a freshman quarterback and an inexperienced offensive line, and they win 2-3 games.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, you know, they build the culture. These guys get older, and in 3 years, watch out for this team. With Illinois, it can be, I'm not saying they're going to win 8-9 games.
No.
I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but it does raise the floor of what you're able to do, and it matters who you're bringing back. It's not just we're bringing back more people than anybody. Who are you bringing back? And we've mentioned some of those names. Jake Hansen, obviously, is one of those. Owen Carney, offensively, you know, the offensive line.
The whole offensive line.
Chase Brown in the backfield.
Yep.
Brandon Peters is going to have to, and I keep saying it, show you the consistency that he can, you know, keep you in that, I don't know, he can be one of the top half quarterbacks in the Big Ten to really allow you to win 6 games, 7 games, anything like that.
That's going to be key to the next question, I think, for from Trevor Belise.
Yeah,
you're right.
I didn't look ahead yet quite, but yeah, that is certainly going to matter. I would say defensively, outside of some of the names we've mentioned, overall, you're bringing back guys that were on a unit that was pretty bad last year.
Good call.
But new system and another opportunity with a new coaching staff.
By the way, it's not like I have the questions in front of me. I am Nostradamus. Is what I am. John Gross?
Next question.
By the way, this next question and the last question I'm realizing are literally the same question.
Oh.
So we'll just combine them here.
Okay.
On the one side, ESPN's Football Power Index metric projects Illinois to go 4-8. Lon, I actually rounded this up because it said that they were going to go 3.8 wins. And I thought that just didn't
sound
right.
I don't know
how
you do that.
So I went with 4. I made a call there and rounded up to 4. On the other side, however, Phil Steele says they have the third easiest schedule in the Big Ten.
Wow.
And a bottom third strength of schedule nationally probably helps when your non-con is a weak ACC team in Virginia and then
UTSA
and Charlotte.
And Charlotte, yeah.
Either way, what are your guys' gut reaction to 4-8? Is it about right, too low, too high?
Every year, my gut reaction is you guys are full of beep. But every year, they seem to be right on when it comes to projections for Illinois. One stinking time, I want to see that wrong. One time, I want to see Illinois blow those projections out from 4-8, and I'm talking 8-4. Like, flip it around. I don't know that they'll win eight games, but what I just puked out of my mouth a minute ago with regards to 22 super seniors coming back, you, I think, have a coaching staff that is better equipped to coach these guys and get them ready for game day. I think it's a coaching staff led by Brett Bielema that knows how to win in the Big Ten and how to win in general, and I think that should make a difference come Saturdays and that one Friday. I think this team should absolutely be projected to be like 6-6. I truly do. With 22 super seniors back, and according to Phil Steele, as you just said, the third easiest schedule in the Big Ten, why in the hell are you projecting them at 4-8? Why are you disrespecting my program that bad to put them at 4-8? You know why, Derek? Because every year Illinois plays right to that projection. It is time. And this has to be the year. It is time to play past the projection, get past 4-8. Let's get to 7 wins at least. And if you could flip that to go 8-4, I would not sit here where I'm at right now and be that shocked if Illinois was 8-4.
How do I follow that, man?
Wow.
Boy, I'm passionate about these projections because they're always right.
That's the problem. The problem is the disrespect hasn't really been proven to be disrespectful. It's kind of been spot on. It's kind of been who you've been. I mean, the easiest job in the world is waking some dude up every July and be like, what's Illinois' record going to be this year? Oh, they're going to go 4-8.
Hey, Tommy.
And this guy just gets it right every time, or he's kind of in the ballpark. I mean, especially the start of the schedule.
Yeah.
When Nebraska's coming here, and we, come on, man.
I know it's
Adrian Martinez who is kind of scary to you, but they've got a lot of turmoil in that program there.
Yes, they do.
Scott Frost is very human, your guy.
My guy. So, where's that button?
Yeah, just like you said, just go beat him. UTSA at Virginia, not that tough. Maryland's coming here at Purdue. I mean, we've seen it where Indiana pops up and wins 8 games. We've seen it where Minnesota pops up, wins 8 games or whatever it may be. Even Purdue, Jeff Brom a couple of years ago when they had a nice year, won like 7 games.
Good call.
It's your turn.
Yeah, exactly. It's your turn. Pipes, you just followed that up with perfection because you dropped the mic. It's your turn. And I think that, again, we always do those swing games, and that Nebraska game, every year it seems like Nebraska's that one game. And you talk about Scott Frost in that program. There is nobody needing to get off to a better start in America than Nebraska and Scott Frost. So that is the pressure that Illinois is facing, I guess, as you host Nebraska in a week zero, or whatever they call that game, to where you're looking and staring down a hungry dog in Nebraska that is needing a victory. But yet, if you're Illinois and you know you can win that game with some winnable non-con games and some winnable Big Ten games early in that schedule before it gets too tough, it's time, man. It is time to make it your season and your year. And I'm hoping that Brett Bielema, I'm hoping there is such a change in terms of this coaching and the ability to coach to get victories that we all sit at Memorial Stadium on Saturdays and that one random Friday and we go, you know what? That looks a lot easier than what it has looked like for the last decade. I just hope finally this is it. And wow, would that be a boon to a guy like Brett Bielema and this program who is trying to make inroads not only in the state of Illinois, but obviously in the Midwest and all around. If Brett Bielema could come out and win 7 or 8 games at Illinois in year one, I mean, that would be national news, and that has to help recruiting.
Come on, if John Gross, who we're using in this segment, if he can go year one, go win the Maui, win at Gonzaga, that's how he's starting off his first year of tenure, like, why can't Brett do it?
Boom.
Speaking I actually kind of John, like that comp.
I do too, although I hope
returning a bunch
Bielema,
of players that weren't yours that are pretty good.
Yeah, that's a great comp. I just hope Bielema has a better coaching career at Illinois than what John Gross did, right? John, do you agree with
that? Next question.
Oh, I guess he doesn't.
I mean, beating number one that year, too.
That's right.
Pretty good year.
Good call. All right,
the FPI also projects. Look, I don't love the FPI, but
I don't even know
it's
what
July, so we're kind of the football power.
Oh, that.
They also project the division winners will be Ohio State and Wisconsin. Shocking news. With Penn State and Iowa not far behind, are there any other teams not mentioned in this top four that you think could crack
either the division completely or finish second.
Oh, boy. I don't know that I do. Is Indiana, I mean, are they back? Did they return any of those guys back from a team that really impressed? I mean, maybe an Indiana team could do something like that. I mean, Minnesota has shown that they've got the ability the last couple of seasons, but they're kind of due to come back to the pack, if you will. I think that's probably about right with the FBI, with what they're saying there between 4 and 5.
I would pinpoint, you said it, Indiana.
Yeah.
Where you have Michael Penix coming back. He's off the ACL injury.
Oh, that's right.
So he does need to be able to stay healthy because he's had a season-ending injury at least the last two seasons. When he's been in there, he's been really good. And I know Jay Layman's guy, his first name is escaping me, but I will always remember Freifogel, the receiver at Indiana, is back as well. And I know that their defense, it was mostly their success was tied to how good they were offensively.
Yes.
But I think they bring back, I read, 8-9 starters on defense. So,
And they're believing.
Oh, yeah.
They're believing in Bloomington.
Tom Allen fever is there.
Exactly. And that makes a big difference.
The last name, more exciting than the first name, it's Ty. T-Y.
Ty.
Ty Freifogel.
But not Ty Ty.
No.
Okay, nope. Just Ty.
Just Ty. One Ty.
Got it. All right, Johnny Gross, one more.
Next question.
Final question. Phil Steele also projected his 4-team college football playoff field. He's really...
This is a shock.
Rattling some branches and...
selling magazines.
Angering some people with
except
this one.
Except at Meyer.
Alabama.
Sorry, Meyer.
Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and Oklahoma. He did go out on a limb and say that Spencer Rattler has the ability to win the Heisman. Is there a team outside of these normal faces that you guys think we could see or just would like to see in this year's college football playoff?
I got a team, and it's somebody here in the station would really enjoy me saying this. I'm ready for Georgia to kind of come up and do that, right? It's going to be an SEC team if it is a team that could kind of shock you, if you will. But herein lies the problem with me and college football. We are sitting here on July 2nd, and we're basically telling you who are the teams, the final four teams. Now, we are going, that field expands, right, this season? Is that right? Is that official?
No,
not this year. It's next year, right, the playoffs?
I don't even know if it's that close. I thought it was like a few years. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe it's 23.
It's not this year.
Okay, not this year.
Because I think their initial, like, what it's not a CBA, but whatever it was like 6 or 7 years.
Oh, I was
and
thinking
so
it was
I think
like
we're on like year 6 or 7 of it now.
Well, then I can definitely see Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and throw in somebody else that's going to get hammered. So we'll say Oklahoma this year. Definitely see that. I want to see maybe a Georgia come up and shock. I don't think anybody out in the Pac-12, they haven't been very good of late.
No.
So I don't know if an Oregon can rise to that kind of a level. I don't trust Arizona State. Arizona's horrible. UCLA and USC just aren't kind of the same anymore. Maybe a Georgia? That's all I got.
Yeah, and that's even a team that's been in the mix here in recent years, and that's kind of, like you said, a problem with college football.
Notre Dame?
I mean, yeah.
Maybe. I mean, they played pretty well last year.
If I'm being picky and if I'm choosing here, if you're talking SEC, I'd like to see a Florida. It's about time Florida is back on the national stage. Maybe even a Miami, obviously out of the ACC in that instance. But a Derek King, who's quarterback there, is considered in that Heisman conversation as well. Maybe he could lead them to that kind of a level. But it'd be fun, and it would need to be like a playoff scenario where it's expanded. But it'd be fun if there was almost like a NBA playoffs type.
Yes.
You know, that translating over where some of the big guys get knocked off and
knocked
you got just
out.
Some different names and just something fresh
I
in
agree.
That football.
How about Illinois and playoff. Indiana playing for the Big Ten title in Indy? I don't think.
And they play basketball. Like then they roll out the court and they play in basketball right after that.
Little doubleheader. Big Ten championship doubleheader. Trevor Valise, good stuff here on the football.
No problem.
Is Hans D finally here?
I think so.
Okay, wow. Look at that. Hans is here.
I see him.
It's incredible. I'm not letting you talk, Hans. No, I mean, he walks right in and expects to.
I liked last week when I had already left. I was driving home, and you said something like, I'm going to mute you now, Hans. And he just had this sort of sad little, okay.
Well, and as he's grinning now, we're waiting to hear about these test results this week. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that didn't sound right.
I was going to say, anybody just tuning in.
Hold on. Pilot test results. If Hans is going to be a commercial pilot, that's what I'm talking about. I don't think there's any other big news out of Hans. Maybe. We'll find out next hour. It is The Drive.